Open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach glad tidings, the gospel of peace. You want to know what touches God's heart more than anything else in the world? You just saw it. When we go reach people, they're passionate about the mission field that God has called them to. You know what mission field God has called you and I to? Lake Placid. I don't want any missionary in the world to love their town more than I love the town of Lake Placid. I don't want any church in the world to be more interested in reaching their people than we are about reaching Lake Placid. And as we look at this morning, focusing on missions, as we get ready to put a number down on this card, if you came Friday night to the missions conference, Brother Walter Stevens actually touched a little bit on the message that I had already planned to preach today. And so you got a little bit of a commercial. But we see in 1 Kings chapter 7, we pick up where Elijah is talking to King Ahab. And 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah is talking with King Ahab, and Israel is backslidden. And so in an attempt to get Israel's attention, God, through Elijah, sends him to tell King Ahab that there won't be rain in Israel for 3.5 years. And Israel saw a depression, a recession, a famine like they never saw before. In this, Elijah, to be cared for, was staying at the brook Cherith, and God was feeding him with ravens, and they were bringing him food. He was drinking from the brook Cherith, but the brook dried up, and God sent him to go see a widow of Zarephath. The title of my message this morning is What the Widow of Zarephath Learned. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17. And when you get there, let's actually look at verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he had come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and thy son. The title of my message this morning, and I'm going to preach quickly, What the Widow of Zarephath Learned. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, I'm so thankful for how that you have blessed our hearts all week this week with the preaching of the Word of God, the missionaries that presented their hearts and their burdens of the lands that you're sending them to. Lord, you've touched our hearts this morning with the missionaries that we're already investing in, but Father, we want to be able to do more. Lord, please, as we're preaching this message, put a number on the hearts of every person in here of something that they can give to world evangelism, to have fruit added to their account, to have souls that have been saved on those lands added to their account that can one day walk up to them and say, Thank you for giving to the Lord. Help me as I preach this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. Amen. I'm going to jump right into the message for the sake of time this morning. If I preach fast, we all listen fast. Okay, what are some things that the widow woman of Zarephath learned? Number one, she learned that God uses people to support His work. God uses people to support His work. If you look at God's original blueprint with the children of Israel and all of the different tribes and what their responsibilities were, the Levites were not even given land among the children of Israel with the inheritance. God said, you're not going to get land because you're not going to be working the land. You're going to be specifically focused on the work of God. And so all of but the way that the Levites were cared for and the way that the tabernacle was provided for and everything that was necessary, God used the people of the land to bring their first fruits, to bring their tithe to the work of God. And that's how the Levites were provided for and the work of God went on. God uses people. Now, yes, it's true. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. God doesn't need us, but He has chosen to support His work back in the Old Testament with their original blueprint that God used. And even today, God has chosen to use His people who are faithful to give, who are faithful to tithe, who are faithful to put the offering in over and above the tithe, who are faithful to give to Faith Promise. He's using them to fund and support His work for today. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, God said, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse," that's the church, "that there might be meat in mine house." So what's the purpose of the tithe? So there could be meat in God's house. So the needs of the work of God can be provided for. There's a lot of needs in the work of God. We have to pay the light bill. We have to keep up building maintenance. We have to have printed materials. We have to have all of those needs, staff salaries and all of the things, the insurance, everything. Those are needs that God's house has. Toilet paper, amen? All of the needs that the house of God has, that's the meat that He's talking about. So God says, I want you to take 10% of your income, okay, 10% of what you make if you're a child of God is not yours, it's God's. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, God said, "Will a man rob me?" And they said, "God, how have we robbed you?" And He said, "By tithes and offerings." It doesn't belong to me, it's His, all right? My giving doesn't start till 11%. Amen? Yeah, amen. That's not Pastor Keith, that's Bible, okay? My giving doesn't start till 11%. So I give to the work of God. That's how the work of God goes. That's how churches are planted. That's how churches grow and gospel tracts are printed and all of that, because God's people are faithful to give. And God says, I want you to do it so that the needs of my house are taken care of. God uses the gifts of His people to fund His work. You know, at the church at Philippi, I mentioned earlier, and Brother Stevens preached on it Friday night, the church at Philippi, who was, by the way, a very broke church. They were in deep poverty, the Bible says, but they were the only church that was supporting Paul financially. Yeah. Isn't that ironic? And so the church, God used the church at Philippi to take up Faith Promise, to give of what they had to the Apostle Paul so that he could go around and plant churches. You know what Paul told the church at Philippi? He said, all of the churches that I've planted, the thousands of souls that have been saved. You know what the preacher talked about, the Macedonian call. We sang about it this morning. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light. You know how the gospel got to you and I? From the Macedonian call. Think about how many souls have been saved out of Europe. All the revival. United States of America today, because one broke church said, I don't have much, but I can give this much. And they gave it to Paul. You know what Paul told him? He said, not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may be added to your account. Every soul that's been saved as a result of the Apostle Paul, which has been millions, was added to the account of the church of Philippi who gave to the work of God. And so God uses people. He uses people to fund His work. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it's the verse that's on your Faith Promise card that you have there. Notice He says that, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then He says, shall men give into your bosom. Okay, so God says, if you give, I'll give back. You can't outgive God. If you give, I'll give back. But you know how God said He would do it? Other men. You see that? You see it in the passage? Shall men give into your bosom? So God's work is funded by God's people being faithful to give. God wants to save souls. He wants to start churches. He wants to print and distribute tracts and Bibles. And He wants to build sanctuaries. And He wants to build orphanages. And He wants to build Bible institutes. And God wants to meet the needs and continue the great work that He began 2,000 years ago all around the world. And He's going to do so because His people are faithful to give. Amen? You follow me this morning? Okay, so the effectiveness of God's work, okay, in Highlands Baptist Church, in the works around the world, in the other churches, the churches that you grew up in, the effectiveness of the church is dependent upon the level of our willingness and faithfulness to give. Because the more resources the church has, the more the church can do. And so what's the lesson that the widow of Zarephath learned? Number one, God uses people to support His work. Number two, she learned that God wants to have first place in every area of our lives, including the area of giving. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 13. Y'all still with me? And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake." What's that next word? What's it? Say it again. First. She learned that God wants him. He wants to have first place in every area of our lives, including the area of giving. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "But seek ye what?" Talk to me. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When God was, we talked about the blueprint for the Old Testament. God had said that He wanted them to give of their first fruits. Now, here's what this meant. God was talking to an agricultural community, and so when the first crops would come up, God said, "Go ahead and take of the first crops and give that to me before anything else." Okay, before putting it in your barns, before the first fruits belong to me. We still use the same principle today. Yeah. We ought to take, when my wife and I get our paycheck every week, before we set aside money for the mortgage and before we set aside money for whatever else is, we take apart the percentage that God has put on our hearts to give to His work. That comes out first. The first fruits, before we do anything else. That's because God wants to be first. Now here's this woman. She's broke. It's the worst depression that the children of Israel have ever seen. And so Elijah comes up and he finds her collecting sticks because she's going to make a fire so that she can cook the what little amount of food she's got left. And he says, "Ma'am, I'm hungry. I need you to give me some food." He wanted her to give to the man of God, to give to the work of God. And she knew who Elijah was. She said, "As thy God liveth." She knew who Elijah was. But she said, "Sir, literally, I've got enough oil and meal to make a cake for myself and my son. And we're going to die after that. That's all we've got left. Yeah. Preacher, I can't afford to tithe. I use up every dollar. I can't afford to give to mission. Every dollar is accounted for." You know what God said? "Give to me first."
Yeah. Amen.
"Give to me first."
Right.
He said, now don't think this is one of them power hungry or money hungry preachers. Okay, I'm giving you Bible this morning. I don't get on this very often, but it's Mission Sunday. And so she learned that God wants to be first place in every area of our life, including giving. Now, number three, what does she learn? She learned that being second place, okay, now listen to this. She learned that being second place is better than being first place if you're second place to God. Did that make sense? Okay? She learned that being second place is better than being first place if I'm second place to God. Now look what happens here. This is verse 13 through 16. Look what happens. And y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
"And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." I almost wonder if she thought, "Elijah, you must not be listening. I've only got enough for one. I'm going to make one for me and my son." He said, "I know, I want you to do that, but make one for me first." "No, no, no, you're not listening. I've only got enough for one." But look what he says in verse 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days." Many days. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." Now, if she would have kept her in first place and said, "I can't afford to give to the work of God," she'd have had enough for one meal. But she took second place to God and she had enough to survive the entire thing. It said, now, this doesn't mean that she didn't come back in the house and all of a sudden it was just overflowing. The wording was the barrel of meal and the oil wasted not. There was enough to get through every single day. So what am I saying, preacher? If you put God first, you won't go hungry. If you put God first, you know why? Because second place is better than first place if I'm second place to God. But if I try to keep myself in first place, I'm stifling my own blessings.
Yeah, right.
You know why the brook Cherith ran empty? You know why? The brook Cherith ran empty, not because God ran out of power, not because the ravens could no longer bring Elijah the food. It was because God knew this widow is almost out. God did not want her to give to His work in spite of her necessity. He wanted her to give to His work because of her necessity. Make sense?
Amen.
You follow me this morning? She was running out. God was going to take care of her, but He was going to wait until she gave to Him first. So He said, make one for me first. If she'd have been stingy and said, Elijah, I can't do it, she'd have stayed in first place, but she would have had one meal left, and her prediction would have come true. She would have lost the life of her and her son.
Yeah.
But because she said, Lord, I'll put You in first place,
yeah,
God continued to bless. You know, you can't outgive God.
Right.
Huh? Right. You can't outgive God. It's impossible. Remember when Jesus was standing outside the temple, standing there with His disciples, and here come the widow with two mites. I mean, just nothing. And all these people were coming in, and the Pharisees were pulling out their little money sack and counting all the money they were giving up in front of everybody and putting it down. Now, if God's given you abundance, He gave you abundance because the work of God needs help, okay? So give, all right? But God and Jesus noticed, but they wanted to make sure everybody could see, all right? There was a person one time, my dad has the same practice that I do, that he does not, I learned it from him, he has no idea who gives what, okay? I don't ever want to, you know, that's between you and God, I don't know. And so, but someone came up to him one time, and they were upset, said, we're leaving the church, and dad asked him what was wrong, and they said, they gave a very large amount, but they said, you never got up and thanked us from the pulpit. And dad said, well, first of all, I didn't know that, I'm sorry, I had no idea that you gave that. I don't see the books. I don't know who gives what, but it doesn't sound to me like you gave the gift to God. It sounds like that your gift was given so that men could applaud you.
Right.
And so that's not what giving is. It's something that takes place secretly between you and God. But God watched this. So these Pharisees were putting all their money in, and then Lord Jesus saw this widow woman walk up. And she reached down into her money sack and pulled out two mites,
yeah,
cents, to you and I. And she put that in, walked away. Nobody else noticed her, but boy, Jesus took notice. And He said, whoa, guys, wait a minute. Did you see how much that woman just gave? And the disciples said, well, I mean, no, I wasn't really paying attention. It looked just like a tiny little bit. And Jesus said, now listen, the others gave of their abundance. And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good to do. But He said, this woman gave all she had.
Yeah.
100%.
Right.
And it caught heaven's attention. That's why God does it the way He does it. I can't afford to tithe. God keeps it at a percentage basis.
Yeah.
God makes sure that you've got enough to give. And when I put me in first place, I'm stifling my own blessings.
Yeah.
I've got to put Him first. But you know, I don't believe that widow woman went hungry that night. I don't believe she did. In fact, I would venture to say that the provision that she received for supper that night would have been greater than the two mites that she gave. That's what I believe with all my heart. Because David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. You can't outgive God. If you're giving to the work of God, He's going to make sure that you always have something to give. My dad said, God makes sure that givers always have something to give. There was a missionary that was here this week. I talked to him after church. And he was telling me the story of when they first got on deputation and started the journey of trying to raise their support so that they could go to the mission field that God had called them to. And said someone came and said, you need to go to this missions conference. And so he started doing the math to find out what it would cost to fly his family there. And to get there and back was about $1,600. And he said, we just didn't have it. And so he talked to his wife and said, honey, there's no way that we can get to this missions conference. And she asked him, said, dear, if we can't trust God now at the very beginning, I mean, if we can't just trust Him to provide now, how can we trust Him through the years of deputation and onto the mission field? And so he said, all right, we'll put it on the calendar. We're going. We're just going to trust God somehow. He told me, he said, we got there and we didn't have enough money to get home. Just had a little bit left. And he said, so we got in there and what they would do, missionaries would go up and they would present their ministry and play their video and talk about where they're going and what they're doing. And then the preacher would come up and say, all right, now who wants to give to this missionary? Help them get there. And people start raising their hand and saying, I'll give 50. And someone would say, I'd give 100 and I can give 250. And that's what would happen. And so they said they were sitting there watching this take place. And there was a missionary going to Alaska who was here. He'd already been up and talked, came, sat back down. And he was here to get funds so that he could go to the mission field. And when the preacher said, who can support? Missionary to Alaska raised his hand. And he said, I sat there and thought, what's he doing giving? He's here to get money himself. He's trying to get to the field himself, but he had his hand up. and said, I'll give $500 what he gave to that missionary. And so he said, wow, I can't believe that. Doesn't make sense. Well, as they were sitting there, he was sitting here with his wife. Missionary got up, said he presented his need, broke their hearts. And his wife said, honey, I think we ought to give to that. And he just looked, said, we don't even have enough money to get home. It took all we had to get here. And so, but she said, I know, but I think we ought to give to it. So they raised their hand and they gave half of the money that they had left. He said a little bit farther into the night, someone else got up, and boy, God spoke to their heart, and they needed to, boy, and so he said, he leaned over to his wife and said, honey, I think we ought to go ahead and just give the other half. All that they had. Now, you might look at that and say, that's foolish. They can't afford to give. But you know, second place is better than first place if I've put God in first place. He said, we left that place with 20 times the amount that we had given. Because we are faithful to get. You can't outgive God.
Right.
You can't outgive God. You know, the Bible said in Malachi chapter 3, and I quoted you verse 3 and verse 8 and verse 10, when God said, you've robbed me by not giving your tithes and offerings. Right. But then God said in verse 10, he said, prove me now.
Yeah.
Just prove it. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills the cattle are standing on. He doesn't need my percent. Elijah, God did not need the widow's food to provide for Elijah. God was giving him a smorgasbord from the ravens. He asked her to give because of her. She needed help. And by giving to the work of God, God provided for her. And so that when you and I give, God is blessing you and I. And so he says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, prove me now therewith and see if I won't open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there might not be room enough to receive it. Sometimes Malachi chapter 3 is one of today's church's least favorite chapters in the whole Bible. I don't want to have to give. And so it sounds harsh. You're robbing me by not putting your 10% in the plate. But look at the next verse. He said, just give me a try. I'm not doing this because I need your help. I'm doing this because I want to bless you. And he says, if you'll try me, prove me, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there might not be room enough to receive it. Just like that missionary telling that story, I've seen times in my life where God has blessed and he's come through because I was faithful to give.
Yeah. Right.
There was a man who was a poor beggar, and he had a little bowl of rice. My Sunday school class has heard this story before. Little bowl of rice. All he had in the world. And there was a Russian Raja that pulled up in his chariot with the big entourage. And so he got the Raja stopped the parade and said, I want to get out. And so he climbed out and went up to this poor beggar man that was holding his bowl of rice. And the Raja said, give to the Raja. And so the man said, excuse me? And he said, give to the Raja. And he looked over at this entourage that had just come and said, you don't need my help. You've got it all. This is all I've got in the entire world, and you're asking me to give to you. He was angry. And he just repeated, give to the Raja. And so finally, with a mind of protest, he was frustrated, pulled out two little pieces of rice and gave it to him. So the Raja went like this and got back in his carriage, and the entourage moved on. And that man looked down at his bowl of rice, and he saw two gold nuggets sitting there. You know, sometimes we look and say, God, I'm struggling to make ends meet. We're paycheck to paycheck. How in the world? I can't afford to give up 10%. Can I tell you that your 90% will go farther honoring God than your 100% will? You know why?
Yeah.
Because second place is better than first place if you've given first place to God.
Good. Yeah.
I'm telling you this because it's in the Word of God, and I'm telling you this because I've experienced it.
Amen.
I've experienced it. I don't know what number God has put on your heart. Again, your first obligation is to Highlands Baptist Church. This is our first mission field. But if you're already giving to that, or maybe you've not been giving at all, but you've decided, I'm gonna go ahead and start giving God His money. I'm gonna prove Him. I'm gonna prove Him. And I'm gonna by faith put a number down. Preacher, boy, I'd like to give more. I can't give as much as I'd like, but I can at least handle this. It's okay. Just do something.
Yeah.
Something. These souls that we've looked at tonight. If you're giving to Faith Promise, you'll see those souls again.
Yeah.
And you watch and see if second place doesn't become better.
That's right.
Than first place.
Yes. Yeah.
If you've put God in first place. God wants to bless you. God won't bless a person who's robbing Him.
Yes. That's right.
He won't bless a person that's robbing Him. I'm going to ask you to do what God asked in Malachi chapter 3. I don't know if it'll work. Well, prove me. Yeah. Try it for a month. Try it for a month. God, I'll try putting you first in my finances for 1 month. My grandmother grew up in a Baptist church. Her dad was a pastor. My grandfather didn't. And he got saved and they got married. The preacher got up, preached on tithing. And my grandfather told my grandma, he said, honey, we're living too tight. We can't afford to tithe. And she said, Glenn, we can't afford not to tithe because we're stifling our own blessings by not tithing.
Yeah.
So he said, I tried that service. I put my 10% in the offering plate, washed it all the way down the aisle, all the way back, across the back of the altar. He said, somehow 2 plus 2 didn't equal 4. We made it on 90%. And he said, we've grown in our giving to God every year since then, and somehow we've made it. In fact, I've learned that second place is better than first place when I'm second place to God.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this day.